T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Here's a good idea. Have a point. It makes it so much more interesting for the listener.
Welcome back to At Your Service. Brad Young in for the last hour this evening. And stick around. After 11 o'clock, you're going to get to hear the replay of St. Louis Talks with Ryan Recker, with Carol Daniel, and with Bo Matthews. I mean, you've heard Ryan Recker right here in this time slot for the last 4.5 years, except for recently. Why is he gone? Well, because he got moved to the day show. And so you can hear that replay every night here at 11 o'clock when there's not Cardinals baseball going on, of course. So that'll be coming up at 11 o'clock. So you're going to want to stick around for that. In the meantime, what's on your mind? We call this At Your Service because we are at your service. Phone lines are open 314-436-7900 for calls or texts. Love to hear what's on your mind, especially if you disagree with me. I thoroughly enjoy that. So don't hesitate to call just because you say, I don't agree with that guy. Let me know why. Love to hear it. In the last hour, we're not going to continue talking about this hour. We've got other topics. But just to wrap up what I did not get to last hour regarding the hiding of the origin of the coronavirus. What's interesting is it's not just Nancy Pelosi who refuses to get to the bottom of this. I mean, even Chuck Schumer in the Senate voted to investigate the origins of the coronavirus, but not Nancy Pelosi. It's sitting on her desk. She refuses to bring that bill to the floor for a vote. But the New York Times also quashed a COVID origins story. In fact, this story just came out today that a top editor at the New York Times, who is no longer there, but he gave an interview. It doesn't give his name, so I guess he doesn't want to give out his name for obvious reasons. But he specifically states that he was told it would be dangerous. This is at the New York Times, and this takes place in early 2020. He was told, and I'm quoting, "I was told it was dangerous to run a piece about the origins of the coronavirus. There was resistance to running anything that could suggest that COVID-19 was man-made or had leaked accidentally from a lab," unquote. So you've got Pelosi who doesn't want it. You've got the New York Times that won't investigate it. And you've got the mainstream media that won't report on the GOP findings that were released this week about the origins of the coronavirus. My goodness, we see an orchestrated disinformation campaign, and you and I are unfortunately paying the price for that. Speaking of paying the price, you heard at the top of the hour news, you've heard a lot here the last couple of days about this infrastructure bill, $1.2 trillion infrastructure bill. It's set to be passed. But, you know, here's the part of politics that we call inside baseball. You've heard the phrase, you may like sausage, but you never want to hear or never want to see how it's made. Well, this is how the sausage is made in Washington, D.C. I'm going to show you right here. It's very easy. And, of course, it deals with money. Because in this $1.2 trillion infrastructure package, guess what? There is an additional $1 billion with a B. So $1 billion of the $1.2 trillion is going to an organization that's run by Senator Joe Manchin's wife. She gets an extra $1 billion to spend over 4 years. Now, the organization is called the Appalachian Regional Commission, and they work to increase broadband access, and they work to get computer access. So, I mean, I'm not suggesting that the organization isn't a worthwhile organization to receive federal funding. But why do you think it was Joe Manchin's wife that gets the extra $1 billion? Because the Democrats have to have Joe Manchin's vote because the Senate is tied 50-50. And so when the Senate is tied 50-50, you got to make sure that you get Joe Manchin on board. And what a better way to ensure that Joe Manchin's going to support this infrastructure bill. There is no better way than to give the organization run by his wife, oh, you know, an extra $1 billion to spend. You know, that's pretty good money. I think it was Illinois Senator Adlai Stevenson. I think it was him, and if I'm misquoting him, forgive me in advance. But I think he said in the 70s, when you're talking about $1 billion here and $1 billion there, pretty soon you're talking about real money. And that's what we're talking about. $1 billion to Joe Manchin's wife for, at least in my opinion, the sole reason of ensuring that Joe Manchin's going to vote for this infrastructure bill. That, my friends, is how Washington works. So for this infrastructure bill, are there things in there we need? Of course. Anyone who's driven anywhere knows that the bridges are challenging. The roads need fixing, repairing. We need new infrastructure built, not just for highways, but for airports, for mass transit, for internet. We do need the infrastructure. So I don't doubt the need. I just doubt the motive for giving this money to Joe Manchin's wife. But again, that is how the sausage is made in Washington, D.C. When we come back from this break, we're also going to talk about the eviction moratorium. And I sighed there because this is a story about how politicians manipulate the media to get across their message. We're going to talk about our town's very own Cori Bush, who's at the center of the media manipulation initiative that's going on right now in Washington, D.C. regarding the eviction moratorium. Brad Young here on At Your Service. Stick around.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
You know, St. Louis's own Cori Bush, new congresswoman from the city of St. Louis, District 1 here in Missouri, she's kind of having a sit-in, a good old-fashioned protest in Washington, D.C. right now. And the Washington Post, just about 30 minutes ago, published a picture of her sitting in what looks like an inflatable chair where she's kind of camped out with this with a bunch of stuff. I mean, it looks like, I'm not trying to make too much out of it, but with all of this debris and clothing and potato chip bags and everything, it kind of looks like a campground or a homeless encampment. So there's all this stuff floating all over the place, and she's sitting there checking her cell phone and taking pictures of herself and cheesing for the camera. So the point of this sit-in is to protest the eviction moratorium. Now, what is the federal eviction moratorium? Well, Congress had passed a bill that specified that you couldn't kick anyone out of their house if they're renting. If you're renting a house or an apartment, you can't kick them out if they fail to pay the rent. Now, ostensibly, and this is the part of class warfare that just drives me crazy, because ostensibly, this bill is designed, at least the moratorium eviction was designed, at least for folks like Cori Bush and the Squad and a lot of the other progressive Democrats in Congress, like Elizabeth Warren and many others. It was designed to stick it to these so-called rich companies that own houses and apartment buildings and rent them to folks. But, you know, I looked into this today, and the majority of houses in America that are being rented are not owned by big corporations. They're owned by mom and pop people. They're owned by regular citizens who've bought an extra house and rent the house in order to get investment income. And so often these attempts to stick it to corporations really just ends up sticking it to regular Americans and citizens. And that's unfortunate. You know, it reminds me of, I think it was in the 1990s, there was this outcry that all of these rich people were buying boats. Now, I don't own a boat, and I think I know a couple of people that do, but not anyone close enough that I could borrow their boat. I wish I did. I'd borrow it more often. But the issue with boats is that they were trying to say, well, if you are so wealthy that you can buy a boat, then you should be taxed on that because you have too much money. It's kind of the same argument that we hear today about Jeff Bezos and Richard Branson. If they're so rich they can afford to go into space, then we need to tax some huge percentage of their wealth. Same argument in the 1990s about people who were buying boats. So Congress enacted this tax in the 1990s. It was called the boat tax. And if you went out and bought a boat, there was a huge tax on any boat, and this is the important part, that was made in this country. Who do you think makes boats? Do you think wealthy billionaire corporate titans are the ones who are out there on the production lines manufacturing boats? No, that's not who's making boats. It's blue-collar America that makes boats. And so if you slap a great big tax on boats that are made in this country, what happens to the boat manufacturing industry? It sinks. I mean, I'm sorry to make the pun, but the boat industry sank in the 1990s. And I know I grew up in Southern Illinois, and there was a boat manufacturing company about 10 miles, well, less than that, like 5 miles from my hometown. It went out of business in the 1990s because of this boat tax, because people didn't want to buy boats if they were going to be a huge tax on it. But what they did was is they bought boats that were imported into this country, and they avoided the tax, so it was cheaper. So at the end of the day, the people who were wealthy enough to buy boats never paid the tax. They didn't pay the tax that was designed to stick it to the rich. But who was truly harmed by that tax? It was the blue-collar workers. It was the guy with no college degree, the electrician, the guy who can use a tool and die, the person who can be fabricating fiberglass to build a boat. Those were the people who lost their jobs. They were probably making 30, 35, 40 bucks an hour working at a boat manufacturing company, and they had to go work at a restaurant for $12 or $15 an hour. Those are the people that lost their jobs. So in an effort to stick it to the rich, wealthy fat cats, the only thing that happened was blue-collar Americans lost their jobs. That was the net result. And so we see the same thing going on today with this eviction moratorium. And so we've got Cori Bush out there. We've got AOC. We've got the squad. The whole member, all the members of the squad are protesting. But here's what's interesting. The focus of their wrath at this point isn't the Republicans, as it usually is. It's the White House. It's President Biden. Because they want President Biden to artificially extend the moratorium by an executive order. And what's interesting is there's so much pressure being put on the White House now by progressive Democrats or socialist Democrats. There's so much pressure that today the White House had to address the issue because of the pressure. This is the quote from the White House. To date, CDC Director Rochelle Walensky and her team have been unable to find legal authority for a new targeted eviction moratorium. Our team is redoubling efforts to identify all available legal authorities to provide necessary protections. In the meantime, the president will continue to do everything in his power to help renters from eviction. Unquote. What they're talking about is this. In a Supreme Court decision that got no attention in June, there was a case where the Alabama Association of Realtors sued the Department of Health and Human Services because they were going to artificially institute a CDC moratorium on evictions beyond what was authorized by statute. And so the case goes up to the D.C. District Court, and the judge unilaterally ruled in favor of the Alabama Association of Realtors, meaning the CDC lacked the legal authority to extend the moratorium. That case goes to the Court of Appeals. The Court of Appeals affirmed. The Supreme Court actually issued an order on the application to vacate the stay, and the Supreme Court ruled 5-4 that the moratorium could not be extended by an executive order. And in fact, Judge Kavanaugh, or Justice Kavanaugh, who wrote the opinion, said, quote, "In my view, clear and specific congressional authorization via new legislation would be necessary for the CDC to extend the moratorium past July 31st, unquote. So what does all this mean and where does it leave us? It means that Nancy Pelosi, who came out in support of the CDC simply extending the moratorium by executive order, our own Cori Bush and other progressives in Congress want to go against the decision from the U.S. Supreme Court that's about 35 days old. To go against that, even though the decision says it can only be done via more legislation, they know they're not going to get a law passed. It's not going to get through the House and the Senate. So instead, they're going to do it by executive order in defiance of the U.S. Supreme Court. That's what they're going to do. So when they talk about accountability in government, when they talk about transparency of government, in so many instances, what we hear from progressives today is simply false because they don't want transparency. They don't want accountability. What they want is do what we say because we know what's best. So for all of these mom and pops across this country that own houses and rent them out to others, they should not be allowed to evict someone who doesn't pay their rent. Why? Because of the pandemic? As of a week ago, the White House released its financial data and said there were 9.2 million open jobs in this country. 9.2 million open jobs. And so if someone isn't working, In all likelihood, they're not working because they don't want to work. Now, it may be it's not the kind of work they want. It may be it's not in their area of profession. I mean, there's lots of ands. But when you've got 9.2 million open jobs and you can't pay the rent, you can at least get a job to help pay the rent. But instead, we would rather ban, at least the progressives would rather ban people who have invested, who have taken a risk, borrowed money, bought a house, fixed it up, and rented it. They cannot evict people who failed to pay their rent. It's outrageous. And the poster child for this process, this protest, this sit-in that's going on right now in Washington, D.C. is our very own Cori Bush. You know, I've never been more proud. So there she sits on the Capitol steps, taking cheesy selfies of herself and posting them on Twitter to show how she is really sticking it to the man in order to argue against the ability to evict people who don't pay their rent. Hey, we're going to take a break. And when we come back, we've got more issues to talk about, including, could you go an entire day without looking at a screen? I don't know if you can. I don't know that I could, but I want to ask you that question. And also, it's back to school time, and I'm going to give you a back to school shopping list for your conservative children. Yep, that's right. You're going to want to get your pen and paper handy if your kids are going back to school, because I have the definitive back to school list for conservative children. Brad Young at your service this evening on Camo X. We'll be right back.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Brad Young in with you this evening here on At Your Service. And Die Hard is one of my favorite movies. I don't know if you like it or not. It's one of my favorite movies. And the reason I bring it up is because I've had this, I think it's a six-year ongoing email battle with Joe Holloman over at the Post-Dispatch about whether Die Hard is a Christmas movie or not. And so last year I told him, I said, Joe, there are only two kinds of Americans. Those who know that Die Hard is a Christmas movie, and communists. And I don't know that he got my humor in that, but I only mentioned that because in that same vein, I put together, with some help from the Babylon Bee, I put together my definitive list of back-to-school shopping supplies for your conservative children. And because back-to-school time, it's August, your kids are going back to school this month. I've got a daughter going off to Mizzou this month. And so I've put together, again, with some help from the Babylon Bee, the definitive conservative back-to-school shopping list for your conservative child. First of all, and this is probably the most important, make sure you get your kid a fireproof American flag to carry around, because, you know, public school teachers are always on the lookouts for American flags to burn. So you got to be prepared. And listen, I'm not trying to offend you if you're a public school teacher that loves the flag. But you understand right now, a lot of teachers in school, the American flag is not their favorite flag to fly. Also, definitive, you got to have this in your kid's backpack, commie repellent spray. Now, Matt, I think, he liked that one. It's basically just bear spray, but it also works on commies. So, yep, commie repellent spray. Also, you need to give your kids, especially if your kids are going to middle school and grade school, you got to send them to school with extra bacon, because those healthy school lunch programs are just awful. So if you send your kid to school with a half a pound of bacon every day, it'll counteract all that garbage they get in their healthy lunches. Also, buy this. I know you can get these online. They're kid-sized T-shirts that say, I identify as vaccinated. Okay. So if you're wearing that shirt, you know, the schools today, think about it. If your kid says, I identify as vaccinated, the school districts, they have to respect your child no matter how he or she identifies, right? So if your kid says, I identify as vaccinated, I mean, isn't that the end of the story? I think today's schools, it should be. The other thing you need to have is scissors. Make sure your kid has scissors just to cut the masks off his peers and set them free. You know, just remind your kids, don't run with scissors. That's always a bad idea. Also, make sure that you send your kid to school with a spy camera that's got audio on it, just to record and secretly record the teacher who's teaching critical race theory. You know, then you can send the recordings over to James O'Keefe at Veritas, and bang, it'll get posted on Twitter in like 5 minutes. So that's, you need to do that. Also, you can make this fake book cover. Have you ever seen those? They're book covers that go over other books to hide them, so the teacher can't see what your kid's reading. So what you do is that you make up a fake book that says it's entitled Das Kapital or something else by Marx, and you put it on the cover as a fake cover, you know, to hide their Bible. If your kid's going to take a Bible to school, they can just cover it with a Marx book, Marxist philosophy, and then the teacher won't hassle them. You can do that. Also, give your kid a watch that only displays the national debt. All right. And then they could just say, oh, look, it's at $29.5 trillion as of today. It just keeps it running. And also extra boxes of tissues. I would say Kleenex, but they don't want you to say that because of trademark infringement problems. So send an extra box of tissues just to help his classmates wipe away their liberal tears. You know, because if your kid's a strong conservative, then there's going to be some crying and wailing and gnashing of teeth in school. I remember when I was in college, I was making an argument in one of my political science classes. And the teacher said, Brad, you understand that you're the only conservative in this class. There are 29 students in here who disagree with you. And I said, I understand that. And if you go out and find another 30 class members, maybe the argument would be fair and balanced. She laughed, and I got an A in the class. Even though she didn't agree with me, but she recognized that I could make my argument. So that is your definitive back to school list. I'm gonna get Matt here on the phone or on the mic here. Matt, why don't you pot up there if you would? Because there's a study that came out today. I'm gonna get your take on this. 73% of adults, and I'm quoting, can't imagine, unquote, going a full day without looking at a screen. Now, I know you're at work. I'm counting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8
yep.
screens that are in front of you here in the Camo X Command Center. So I got to say, assume if you weren't at work, because you cannot escape a screen at work. I get that. And you can't even see the two screens that I'm looking at. But if you weren't at work, could you imagine going an entire day without looking at a screen?
I would like to. I would like to be less on my phone, be watching TV less. I do read a lot, so I think I could entertain myself that way.
Like with books?
Yeah.
Good.
You know, spending time outside, I always enjoy way more than watching TV on the couch.
Yeah.
it would be super tough, though. I'm sure I would be enjoying it for a certain time, and then after a while, I'd be like, yeah, I need to check Instagram or something, mm-hmm. something to rot my brain because I'm having too much fun being outside. I need to, you know.
Oh, wait. You're outdoors enjoying God's creation, and oh my goodness, I need to see what's really going on in the real world. Is that essentially
it? Yes, the real world of social media.
In the real world of social media,
yes.
Which is ironic because that's not the real world.
Exactly.
While you're in the real world.
Right.
Well, there was a story that came out. It was during COVID. It was at the beginning of COVID. And it was an experiment in France. And some French company took some campers and put them in the bottom of a cave. And because it was in the bottom of a cave, they were about 100 feet below ground. There was no cell coverage. They had electricity, so they had lights. They weren't sitting in the dark. But they had no phones, no communication, no radios, no walkie-talkies. They couldn't communicate with anyone for a month.
Mm-hmm.
And I talked about that story, and I had caller after caller after caller call me up and say they couldn't do it because they couldn't check social media for a month.
Nah. I mean, I would certainly like to try it. I don't know about a month, though. I mean, I've heard of these TV shows where they're doing that, and it just seems too survivalist to me.
Yeah. Post-apocalyptic.
Yeah. I mean, losing the screen is one thing, but to be the bottom of a cave or whatever in the middle of the wilderness, I don't know if I could do that.
Well, see, I would enjoy that.
Yeah.
It would be fun, the challenge of it, you know, to watch everybody else kind of crumble at the idea that they can't get their social media fixed.
And if you turned out to really enjoy it, then it's an experiment that went right, and you kind of learned something about yourself that, hey, I'm actually better off without all this social media stuff.
That's right. And 6 in 10 of the surveyed adults actually said that they stare at more screens while working from home since the pandemic, as opposed to commuting to an office. And I can see that, you know, if you're working at home, got all the screens going.
Yep.
But you, my friend, it's like the bridge of the Enterprise in here.
Yeah.
With all these screens around.
Right. I don't need half of them, I don't think. But they do look cool, I guess.
They do. They do look cool. But I think for so many people today, we've become so dependent on these screens. And I'm just as guilty as anyone else. Although I don't have a Facebook page, the only social media I have is LinkedIn, which really isn't social media. So at least I can stay off of that because I don't have any of it. But 6 in 10 say, boy, they couldn't do it. 73% said they couldn't imagine going a full day without looking at a screen. Hey, we're going to take a break here. We come back from the last segment. We're going to hear from the jewel of Camo X, Kevin Killeen, coming up next here on At Your Service on Camo X. Welcome back to At Your Service. Hey, I just got a, I've got a flurry of texts. And in fact, one person texted me and said, hey, good show, Brad. What days are you on? Well, you know, I don't know. It changes from week to week. And I fill in around the baseball game. So it's hard to say. I don't have a normal slot here because I've got a day job. It's called practicing law and running a law firm. So it's not a regular thing. But I'm here filling in pretty regularly. And I got another text here. Please tell Camo X to put out all of your At Your Service episodes on a podcast. So they are. In fact, if you go and look at Your Service on the Odyssey.com website, if you check under the podcast or At Your Service, you can find all of my shows. They're available for download at any time. And you can also download it from the Odyssey app as well. And that goes back to about May. And then before May, you'll have to look at the Overnight America podcast at that point for my fill-ins for Ryan Recker and after I took over for Ryan when he moved to the day show. So all of that's available. Thanks for your text. I also got another text from a friend of mine, Denny McLaren, talking about you're right that most rental properties are run by mom and pop companies. So he is simply confirming what I was saying earlier, that the attempts to stick it to the man really isn't sticking it to the man. It's sticking it to our fellow American citizens who had the audacity to go out and take a risk, borrow money, buy homes, invest in this country in order to get a profit off of that. God bless you. That's what made our country strong, and yet that's what's being taken down bit by bit by the progressives in Washington. One of the things that's the other interesting thing here I want to hit before the show wraps up this evening is that there's a bill in Congress right now, it's in the Senate, that would legalize marijuana on a federal level. Now, let me make sure that I mention this properly here. It would not make marijuana legal nationwide. But what it would do is it would return it to the states so each individual state can make a determination as to whether marijuana should be legal recreationally or legal for medicinal marijuana. Now, you may be saying to yourself, well, wait a minute, Brad, right now I know there are states that have already legalized recreational marijuana, like Illinois. And that's true. There are 18 states that have fully legalized recreational marijuana, starting with Colorado and the state of Washington going back to 2012. And 37 states have approved medical marijuana, including Missouri. Now, I'm not a fan of marijuana, never used it, not a fan of it being legalized. But what I am a fan of is what's called federalism. And under federalism, there are some things that are decided by the federal government and other things are decided by state and local governments. And to me, marijuana should be one of those issues, just like abortion. I mean, that's why Roe v. Wade is bad law, because the regulation of medical procedures under our system of federalism should be the sole province of state governments, not the federal government. So if Roe v. Wade were overturned tomorrow, it would not mean that abortion is legal nationwide. It means that each state would get to decide. So Illinois, a blue state, if they want to have a lot of abortions and continue this reprehensible procedure that kills primarily African-American children, if they want to do that, they can do that. If Missouri wants to protect the sanctity of life, we can do that in Missouri. That's what federalism is all about. And I think the same should apply to marijuana laws, because right now we have states that are legalizing marijuana, even though it's still illegal from the federal government's perspective. And I only bring that up because our very own Kevin Killeen recently talked about marijuana as only Kevin can do.
This country is going to hell. It's quickly going to hell.
Some people are not happy that City Hall has given final zoning approval to converting the failed Steak and Shake at Gravois and River to Pear into a medical marijuana facility.
And I know this because I have a medical background, and marijuana leads to other drugs.
But others like the idea.
That business is empty. And if there's a viable business to go in there, whether selling pot or not, it's okay by me.
We were talking about this in the newsroom, and KMOX anchor Sean Michael Weil pointed out that all of this was foretold long ago in a TV show called Dragnet.
Have you been smoking marijuana?
Marijuana is illegal, I know that.
That's right.
For now. In a couple of years, things may change when all the kids grow up and start wearing ties and going to the polls. Marijuana is going to be like liquor, packaged and taxed and sold right off the shelf.
I doubt it, Mr. Shipley.
Look, I don't mean to be disrespectful, but it seems to me there must be better things for cops to do than chase down wild rumors about something as innocent as marijuana. Why don't you go after the big bad guys, the heroin peddlers? I won't argue with you about them. They should be stopped.
That's right. We'd like to put them out of business. That's why we're here.
What do you mean?
We're trying to keep them from getting a new customer.
There's a big difference between marijuana and hard narcotics.
Yeah, but it's only a small step.
And everybody who takes a drink is going to be an alcoholic. We know that's not true, don't we? Let's face it, we're on opposite sides of the fence, and there's nothing we can do about it. For you, if there's a law against it, it's wrong, black and white. I just don't see things that way, that's all.
Well, you ought to give it a try, fella. It might keep you out of jail.
Maybe. But we'll change the law someday, even though your friend here thinks we won't. Believe me, it's a new world. Your laws are as outdated as bustles. Laws are going to have to be changed to keep pace with the new morality.
That's Dragnet from long ago. The Steak and Shake turning into a medical marijuana facility project still needs some building permits, but City Hall planners say the project looks a go. It will become a reality. With a whole nother story, I'm Kevin Killeen.
Hey, we have unfortunately come up at the end of the show. Boy, 3 hours flies really fast. Hey, coming up after the break, we're going to have the rerun of St. Louis Talks. It's going to be the highlights of St. Louis Talks today with Ryan Recker, Carol Daniel, and Bo Matthews. So you're going to want to stick around for that this evening. Brad Young, been sitting in with you tonight. Had a great time. I will probably be in next week. Don't know exactly what days, but stay tuned to KMOX. And you can, as always, catch our podcasts at odyssey.com. Have a good night.
You can sit around and wait for the phone to ring. Waiting for someone to tell you everything. Sit around and wonder what tomorrow will bring. Maybe a diamond ring.
Well, it's all.